We're holding page 633, and we're talking about Macholos Asuros. And this is where the Torah tells us about what's mutter to eat, what's asur to eat. And here we have a Sfarno that gives us some sense of a general understanding about it. Once Kaiso lost its mila of being a nation that could have had a permanent Ashura Sashkina just in Kaiso, like it says in the Pasik, Bechol Mokam Ashaska Shmi Ovelach Vechticha, wherever I allow my name to be mentioned, I'll be there and give you a bracha. Kemoshi in Lasid Lavoi, Ke Omroi Bevinasat Yashkana Sechem Sigal Avsheshem. So that's where it should have been. But once we did that, very Moas Akedis Vachakach. Who did not want to be part of Klal Yisrael, wanted to dwell in Klal Yisrael. Ka'omer kula ela bekebucha. Ve'hisig Moshe Rabbeinu v'tfilosa eze tikun. She'tisha shchina b'soichem v'emtzos mishkin v'kela m'shalas ezvochav. So Moshe Rabbeinu got a compromise out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's willing to dwell in Klal Yisrael in the Mishkan and the Kelim. Archie's Sigur Bezochel by Yerikon Hashem Kalaam, Rezes Mashamayim. Ubechain, Rol, attacking Mizgah Shimuchon Orbor Achaim Nitzchim, the Tigger Zes has Lada. So, therefore, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is somewhat being Mashashkinas, it also makes sense that we should have some sort of tikkun in terms of our bodies through the food that we eat. So, in other words, once we're already somewhat fit to have Ashuras Hashchina, we need now to work out Klal Yisrael in a way that will give us full Ashuras Hashchina. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu prohibited it to us the types of food that will contaminate the Nefesh in terms of Midos and in terms of Muskolos. Midos meaning Midos, like we say, Miskolos means deeper understandings of God. Omer v'nitamtembom, or nitmesim v'nitamtembom, v'kom al tashakshas v'shaseichem, and it says, k'nei Hashem ha'asem ha'atzayim v'sachem l'lokim, v'skadashim v'sachem k'toishim p'irish nitzchim, v'sdamim l'vori v'sbarach. Omer k'kodesh ani. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am Kodesh, which the Sfarno interprets to mean Nitzchi, and therefore I've prohibited to you anything that will prevent that. Ve'osa hanida v'azova v'yeledes l'kadosh zatar v'tuma ka'omer v'zatas etzom t'masam le'imusim t'masam b'tomas mishkan. So all these, in other words, if we're to give a general caption under all things that are tummy, we would say things that don't allow for Ashuras Hashchina. We don't know why. We don't know. In those, the Sfarno is not making it in any way easier for us to translate it to physical reality. But maybe we can't. It's like, imagine somebody who is totally colorblind or totally doesn't have any sense of aesthetics, and I walk in with him into a room. I say, I can't live in this room. Everyone says, well, the walls are strong, the insulation is great, it's nice size. Why? I say, well, the color's off, it's horrible, it's just crazy. I says, I don't know what you're talking about. Nice room, comfortable, is that? He just doesn't have any sense of aesthetics, and no amount of convincing. I can't translate into his language why this means that it's physically not a comfortable to live in. It physically is comfortable. If I were, for instance, to see a crack on the wall, and I would tell them, this crack is a danger sign because it could be that there's more cracks and this is this and that, that I could translate to him. He doesn't understand why one crack makes a difference. I tell him, well, one crack indicates that this is off and that's off and so on. But he doesn't know how to translate this. We don't have a way of translating ruchnius to anything that's meaningful to us. So we're going to just say stick with that. That's the way it is. Now, he explains the difference. Hiski loshen tuma ben avelos behema v'chaya tmeya v'shorin shatz avelos behema teira. He used the word tuma for both Nevela Beim Achaya Tmeya and Shemana Shratzim and Nevela Beim Torah. She called Echad El Ish Tumas Mago Uktos Tumas Masa. Omnom, he says, Hametamin Es HaNefesh Bolvad. So those that are only bad for the Nefesh, they don't actually give a halachic physical tuma. And Dogma Oifetz Ochagom Mashal Shatzim Shemim Tus Mago Klal. He is given Shikutz, Komo Sheketz Em Lechem, Loyoch Sheketz, Sheketz, so on, Osan Reisimbom, and v'zeikir b'achilosa. So these are the type of things that if you eat, they somehow corrupt, pervert, whatever it is, your body. Ka'omnom, b'yoysi elokeichem, chofatzi z'izkad chin atzmo melakdusha, v'yisem k'toyshim 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 v'nitzchim v'akirchem s'achem v'lachdachem. V'zeh chofatzi t'izdam aleyem k'koyshim k'toyshim. So by being like me, you're going to be Kodosh and Nitzchi, and I'll be able to be Masha Meshchina. I want to explain two more points here. One is, he keeps equating Kedusha and Nitzchias. There's other places where this foreigner says it. And there's something, he's describing here the following phenomena. The Rambam Amor Nevuchim says that all material items are I don't want to say the word short-lived, but are time-bound. Because since every physical item is a combination of things, of physical objects, it disintegrates. And everything physical comes to an end and disintegrates, without exception. Anything that's not physical, for instance, the concept of justice, the concept of peace, the concept of kindness, those are things that don't disintegrate because they're not physical, they're not made of physical stuff. There's no reason why there's any time bound on it. Kedusha means pulling away from the physical. Kedusha in many areas, for instance, Kedusha in Arayas means, and in Achila means the person's own drives and appetites he pulls away from. So he's not so involved in the physical world. The more we pull away from that, that's Kedusha, the more we're shayach to Nitzchias. And because our self, a person whose self is 100% hatog and beer, has no nitzchias because hatog and beer just don't move further than that. That's it. A person who has an achizen, a tefisen, something ruchnias is eternal. One. Two. In order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dwell amongst us, we need to be of the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Likes attract, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a world whose essence is physical and time-bound, cannot possibly become the platform for something that's ruchnius. I mean, it's totally different. Because this is ruchnius, because this Klal Yisrael becomes nitzchi through this, and Kadosh nitzchi, there possibly become a Bokum Parshas HaShechina. Okay, next one. This is Ramban, who speaks about some type of common denominator of things that are Aser. So the Torah gives us only a list, doesn't give us any simonim for ofos, and some things by shrotzim. Chazal says lomdu simonim ba'ifes, vein lahakeben she'ein balois and simonim amin elu asurim. The even though Chazal and Chulin give us certain signs, these are things that sort of the animals have, the birds that have like big thumbs and all sorts of simanim that they gave us. So the Ramban says these are not be'etzem midoraisa. These are simanim. In other words, you're not sure which it is and what it is. Here, let me show you. You know. If you're in doubt about which kind, it's really the kind. But these simonim are very helpful guides in sort of pointing out which is which. Vasimon agol ba'oifis he hadrisa shekol oif hadiris la'olam tamei ki atarich ikosai ibnei shedomei mechumam lachzer yosai v'shachav v'gas umol amrida sufa shachoris amsoes balei v'ein v'chol ha'olam och shidros mevar haniskarim b'parasha. So the Ramban says as follows. The rule is that birds of prey, EY, not AY, birds of prey are what's aser, and the reason being that the understanding is whatever chemicals, whatever materials go into a bird of prey or an animal that kills, it's something that could be transferable to a person if he eats it, and they will be and they will get some of those characteristics, and we don't want those characteristics. So the common denominator of this list is birds that prey on the other birds. The list is meant to be comprehensive. These are the only birds that do that, and therefore it's prohibited. I want to add just a caveat for this. One of the problems we have, and it's not scientific, when we speak about a species, a kind, there's really, really no objective scientific reality. For instance, dogs. There are some dogs that are like big as like a pony, and there's some dogs that are as big as a mouse. There's some dogs that are friendly, there's some dogs that are monstrous, there's some dogs that are blacker than black, some whiter than white, some like this, some like that. A person can divide the dogs into species to a point where every dog's own species. No two dogs are alike, so I'll label this, spotty species and this and whatever. On the other hand, I could have made wolves and dogs as one type. A fox, for someone who's a city person, is dog-like. It's kind of looks at this sort of same size, same type of features, and it's not, it's a fox. And all we have is gradations of distinction. Like, some animals are closer apart, some animals are further apart. When the Torah gives us types, we don't have an easy way to translate what falls in that category. How specific? So if the Torah, for instance, will say something about dogs, which it doesn't, would that include wolves as well? Would that include every single dog, from the tiny dog to the huge dog to whatever? We don't have, those are not. So the Torah gives a certain amount of species, but how you would understand that species to include, we'd be kind of stuck. And this is one of those areas where that's why there was a big reluctance to rely on anecdotal evidence and stuff like that, because you don't know what's included in when the Torah said a kind or whatever. Then he says, "V'chol oif shidus neidah shum elans kar v'im yedua she'enidos v'adim muta she'em chol yisum oif shenidoros zelos echad v'peres oy oznia." So he says, in all of the birds, if we find a bird that for sure does not eat other birds, then we can assume for sure that it's kosher, not a problem. Mashenka, if we find a bird that, so he says, what about this? Is only one bird that is not. Carnivorous, that's a Paris Osnia. A Paris Osnia, I believe, are owls. And I'm not sure why an owl, that's my knowledge, an owl does eat mice and stuff like that. But he says something interesting. He says the Chachamim, it didn't bother the Chachamim because owls tend not to live where people congregate, so it's not so relevant. Then he adds, maybe that itself, the fact that it lives out there, makes it have a bad temperament. Then he brings all the signs that the Chachamim gave, having this extra finger, which is sort of sticking into prey, having a certain type of crop and a membrane, and so on. So all the different simanim that they gave, he explains what they are, and so on. And finally, last paragraph, 65, says, so the reason by birds, what Chacham said was kasha, what they said wasn't kasha, why these things, why Torah said, because these things make very bad toldos. Like we said before, it sort of goes into the children. So he says, basically, bottom line is, he says, it's very possible that all the animals that are prohibited bring us, give us some sort of bad nature. Okay, next is Rabbeinu Bechaya. He says, very similar. Voidesh Kolos is Tam Besoifis. Being a Kadosh Baruch Hu likes humility and goodness and so on, and he hates cruelty and all the other medias. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu selected the small and the insignificant brios and oisers alaben vachav the carbon. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked a cow and a sheep and a goat, not very glamorous animals, not giraffes and tigers and lions and stuff like that, because these have good midas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the type of person I want. Okay, let's take a look at the next piece. It's an Akedah, and the Akedah reinforces a certain point about kosher. And I think it's an important, I was speaking somewhere, a very modern Orthodox crowd of boys and girls, and a girl was saying that, you know, we now understand many of the mitzvahs because a lot of the meats have high cholesterol and so on. And, I you know, so sometimes I think people do that because they feel it helps explain why you do it. I think it's horrendous because the correlation is very, very, very weak. And you also make the Torah into a medical book, which I don't think it is. Baroi Neide says, we need to know, the Torah was not into health. So basically what you're doing is you're taking something that's divine and it transcends this world. You say, well, this is another way to stay healthy. So he says, so you're reducing it to sort of a little, you know, seven steps to healthy eating and so on and so forth. He says, forget about the fact whether it's works or not. Even the idea that all the Torah is you know, recipes for chicken soup is really taking it down. Mulvari says, we can do, we can take out, we can make fat-free chaza. Just like you manage to neutralize poisons. So if you take an anti-cholesterol pill before you eat chaza, you're good. Besides which, Goyim, Baruch Hashem, are really, really healthy. Never seen this. They in Oyev and Kosher and Zosha Sibah, they don't seem to suffer anything. Omno, Mashenesel and the Inyo Choloi HaNefesh. The reason why it's also has something to do with what's good for the Nefesh and what's not. Came into Omen Shekotzim Ezekiel and Nefesh HaMaskelas. They affect the mind, the deeper mind. Omolidimbo Atimus Vara Mezek Vekilkal Taivis. So וזהו טעם ונטמא סמבום, כי הטימוס והטומן שלך זה לזה, כמו שבסף השם, מקסימה זה ברוך השם. ולזה נקרא בתורה, מחולוס אסור זה תורה שם טום וטעם. It has nothing to do with physical health and well-being. It has to do with some sort of ruchnistic well-being. I want to add one point that is a bit, I guess, tempered a bit. Chazal say, for instance, Chazal speak about certain mitzvahs. And, you know, that's not clear what a lulav is, what mara is. And Chazal use a klal of drachei darchei noam. Its pathways are pleasant. Now, it doesn't mean that every mitzvah must be pleasant. Fasting Yom Kippur may not be a pleasant experience, and so on. But drachei darchei noam tells me that as a rule, the Torah mitzvahs fit well the physical world. In other words, a person going along with Torah, it fits, it works, and therefore a person should you know, it's, so if you know, given old rathers, we'd say that it's something that's not difficult. But so it's not, kosher will definitely be positive for your health. It's not going to be bad for your healthy kosher, but on the other hand, it's going to be but on the other hand, it's not the purpose of it. And yes, you can eat heavy kosher meat and have a lot of cholesterol from it. That's not going to, you know, you can get sick from it as well. And people can eat lean bacon and not become sick. It has nothing to do with it. The core of the mitzvah is some ruchnistic aspect that allows for ashras hashchina. It also is true, though, that it will be a good way of life health-wise. It will not be a bad way of life health-wise, let's put it that way. Okay, we'll hold it here.